Part 3. A Suitable Explanation. Sokka.
Yeah.
Katara, arms set apart in the bending stance she typically used for healing, stared down at her brother's back with some doubt. Before her lay Sokka, who had accepted the invitation for a healing session and followed his sister out into the sunny courtyard without so much as a word. He had sprawled out over a thick blanket on his stomach, shirtless so that Katara could better examine his wounds. Her eyes darted from his upper back to his face, then back again. With his head resting on crossed arms and his eyes closed, Sokka appeared more at peace than he had since his arrival 3 days ago. The healing, Katara mused with a small smile, probably had something to do with it. But while Sokka as a whole, clean shaven with his hair freshly washed and cut, seemed all right, some parts of him remained a plain mess. His back, for example, was littered with welts and bruises and, now clean for the most part, cuts that still made her wince. Each one was like a mystery, a story that she attempted to close but with little success. The especially deep gash on his upper arm, the long, thin lines crisscrossing the length of his torso, all signs of some sort of deeper struggle. And what of the mark on the back of his neck, the one mostly covered up by his freshly cropped hair? What could she make of his raw and scabbed wrists? What had happened was fairly obvious. The whos and the whys were unclear for now, but from the little hints the rest of the group had picked up, it seemed clear that the pair had been captured, questioned, and, though it scared her to admit, tortured. By the looks of things, and the way Sokka had been unable to eat much the previous night, they had been near starved for so long that neither he nor Toph could stomach huge portions of rich food. The natural curiosity and horror she felt wasn't unexpected or even unwarranted, but it was a burden all the same. What? Faltering, Katara sighed again and let her hands fall to her sides for the time being. She shifted a towel upon which she knelt and rebended a glove of water onto her hand, just as she had been taught to do. In times like this, she wished she had been taught how to ask sensitive questions. Sokka, half of whose face rested on his crossed arms, lazily opened one eye to peer at his concerned sister. One look at her relayed her exact thoughts without even a word passing between them. He merely shook his head and closed his eyes again. Katara's frown deepened. "They told me not to ask about it, but I can't believe that it's good to keep it all inside," she began again. "Aang told me he asked Toph what happened, but she couldn't say anything. Looking at this mess," she gestured to his back, "I guess a lot happened. And I understand that it must be really hard to talk about, but when I look at all of this, I mean, especially this one, on the back of your neck, they're fairly serious. I can't stop thinking about—" Yet again she stopped, mid-sentence. In her explanation, she had brushed back the hair away from his neck and traced her forefinger along the ridge of the gash that dwelled there. In turn, his entire body had tensed, eyes clenching shut tighter than before, and it occurred to Katara not a moment later that he was holding his breath, as if he were drowning. Instantly, as if she feared she might have burned him, Katara jerked her hand back. The water in her other hand splashed down her front once she lost her concentration, and she cried, "Oh, Sokka, I can't live in the dark like this! You were supposed to come here to Pandown's Bastion with Toph, but you never showed up. We went looking for you for nearly a month and didn't find a thing, and then one day you two just show up here looking like you've died and come back to life!" No response from her brother. "Who captured you? What did they want you to tell them? How could this happen? I need to know. It's killing me, Sokka. What happened to you?" Sokka buried his face in his arms, fully blocking his face from her view. Then, to her immense surprise, his shoulders began to shake, and that sound of staggered breathing told her that he was crying. No, not crying. Laughing. "Oh, spirits, he's lost his mind!" Katara thought frantically, recoiling backwards in horror from his shaking figure. "Ugh." Sokka rolled over, then sat up beside his sister on the blanket. "Oh, man, I think I'm losing my mind." Katara eyed her brother suspiciously as he wiped a tear of apparent mirth from his eye. What's so... Why are you laughing? What happened?" Sokka took one look at her and replied, smiling through watery eyes. "I had a bad day. And a bad month." She stared. You had a bad day." He grinned ironically at her. The understatement of the year, maybe even of a lifetime. Perhaps he wasn't so ready, stable, to talk about his feelings after all. Katara ran a hand over her face and let out a slow breath. "I think I need to lie down."